who is one of the direct disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whom Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entrusted with the power and the instruction to present the science of Krishna consciousness in books. And all of the acharyas in our line, following Srila Rupa Goswami, are considered Rupanugas, followers of Rupa Goswami. And so much of the Krishna consciousness movement is based on the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami and the example of Srila Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami and his older brother Sanatan Goswami were born in high class Brahmin families in South India. But due to circumstances, they were forced to engage in the service of the Nawab Hussain Shah, who was a very powerful, tyrannical ruler in East India. And the two brothers were so highly qualified that Sanatan Goswami was like the prime minister of the Nawab, and Rupa Goswami was like the finance minister. How they came to give up the service of the Nawab, of course, there are many reasons, but often a specific event will be a turning point in a person's life. And so it was with Srila Rupa Goswami. Jai Shri Shri Radha Govinda Ki Jai. Yes, one year I taught the Nectar of Devotion at the VIHE, Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education. And immediately after the course, I rushed to Mayapur to accompany Radhanath Swami and Satchinandan Swami on the parikrama. And the first place we visited was Ramakeli, which was where the Nawab Hussain Shah had his capital, and where Rupa and Sanatan were engaged in his service, and where they met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They had a third brother named Anupam, and he had a son, Jiva, who became Jiva Goswami. And they all saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the first time there. And you can see the remains of the Nawab's palace, and it's all there. So one night, in the middle of the night, when it was storming rain, thunder, lightning, Rupa Goswami was running down the path amidst the trees, and there was a cottage to the side of the path. And inside the cottage, Rupa Goswami overheard the husband and wife talking, that who could be going out in the middle of the night in this storm? And the other replied, they had different names then, Muslim names. It could only be Rupa Goswami, because he's a slave to the Nawab, so any time of day or night that the Nawab calls him, he will go running. And when Rupa Goswami heard those words, when those words entered his heart, he resolved not to do it anymore. So he resigned, and he was fabulously wealthy, and Sanatana Goswami had 10,000 gold coins, which he divided in an exemplary way, which is meant to be the ideal for householders. He distributed 50% in charity to Brahmins and Vaishnavas. He gave 25% to family members, and he kept 25% in reserve for some future emergency. And so he headed towards Vrindavan. And in the holy city of Varanasi, he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya instructed him for 10 days at the Das Aswamedha Ghat in Varanasi. And then Srila Rupa Goswami proceeded to Vrindavan. Meanwhile, Sanatana Goswami, he didn't directly resign. He knew he couldn't do that, so he took sick leave, and he was at home, and he invited Brahmins and Vaishnavas to come and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Nawab was becoming agitated, that where is he? Why isn't he reporting for his duties? So he sent his physician, but still there was no result. So finally he went personally, and he understood that Sanatana Goswami didn't want to continue working for him. So he arrested him. Anyway, it's a long story. But eventually, the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatana, went to Vrindavan. And they wrote books on Krishna consciousness and excavated the lost holy places of Krishna's pastimes and showed devotees how to live in Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami has a very special place in our sampradaya, because he was instructed directly by the Lord. And I will read a few verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita about Srila Rupa Goswami. Please repeat. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 19, the Lord instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Vrindavaniyam rasakelivartam kalena luptam nijashaktimukha Sancharya rupe vyatanot punasa prabhur vido prag ivaloka shristam. Before the creation of the cosmic manifestation, the Lord enlightened the heart of Lord Brahma with the details of the creation and manifested the Vedic knowledge. In exactly the same way, the Lord, being anxious to revive the Vrindavan pastimes of Lord Krishna, impregnated the heart of Rupa Goswami with spiritual potency. By this potency, Srila Rupa Goswami could revive the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan, activities almost lost to memory. In this way, he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Now, Srila Prabhupada discusses this phenomenon of Rupa Goswami being empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I will read one verse and purport that discuss that principle, because, and this is very important for us to understand, because we are situated in this lineage, Brahma, Madhava, Gaudiya, Vaishnava, Sampradaya, and we have to understand our relationship with Srila Rupa Goswami and with Srila Prabhupada. And the relationship, if you will, between Srila Prabhupada and Srila Rupa Goswami. Text 135. For 10 days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at Prayag, that's Allahabad, and instructed Rupa Goswami, empowering him with the necessary potency. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a confirmation of the statement, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. The first verse, the first line of that verse is, I believe, Kali Kaler Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. That or anyway, the Krishna appears as the holy name in Kali Yuga, and only one who is empowered by Krishna can spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. So this verse clearly indicates that Srila Prabhupada was empowered by potency from Krishna, or Krishna Chaitanya. And thus he was able to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. The same was done by Lord Chaitanya with Rupa Goswami face to face, or heart to heart. So Srila Prabhupada continues in the purport, unless one is specifically empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he cannot spread the Krishna consciousness movement. An empowered devotee sees and feels himself to be the lowest of men. For he knows that whatever he does is due to the inspiration given by the Lord in the heart. When I first joined the Boston Temple, one of the devotees, I believe Petit Pavan Das, told me that Srila Prabhupada had said that we are just like chess players or pawns on a chessboard. We are completely under control. And as soon as the Lord moves us one square forward on the chessboard, immediately we think, I am God. And I've noticed the truth of that statement. If I move a little bit forward in any direction, immediately think, oh, I'm the doer. I'm the controller. I'm the... So, but here Srila Prabhupada describes what the inner mood is of a pure devotee or an empowered devotee, which is he considers himself completely worthless and incapable, and that whatever he's able to do, he's not actually doing, but Krishna's doing. This is confirmed by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. Sri Krishna says, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. To be empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to qualify himself. That means that one must engage 24 hours daily in the loving devotional service of the Lord. Once a lady was staying in the guest house of the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, and she was telling people that Krishna came and spoke to her. And when the devotees informed Srila Prabhupada, he replied, yes, Krishna can speak to you, but there's a qualification. Tesham satata yuktanam. One must be constantly engaged in Krishna's service, priti purvakam, with love and devotion. So was that lady engaged fully in Krishna's service? No, but she was saying Krishna spoke to her. But he will, if you have the qualification. The material position of a devotee doesn't matter, because devotional service is not dependent on material considerations. This also is very important for us, because materially we are not very qualified to receive such transcendental knowledge. In his earlier life, Srila Rupa Goswami was a government officer and a grihastha. He was not even a brahmachari or sannyasi. He associated with mlechas and yavanas. Yes, he and Sanatana Goswami, they adopted the customs of Muslims. They were almost like Muslims. They had Muslims' names, Dabir Khas and Sakir Malik, and it appears that their habits were like Muslims. He associated with mlechas and yavanas, but because he was always eager to serve, he was a qualified recipient of the Lord's mercy. A sincere devotee can therefore be empowered by the Lord regardless of his situation. In the preceding verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has described how he was personally empowered by the Lord. And I'll just read the translation. Although I am the lowest of men and have no knowledge, the inspiration to write transcendental literatures about devotional service has been mercifully bestowed upon me. Therefore, I am offering my obeisances unto the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has given me the chance to write these books. He further states in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.187, Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira ikhilasvapyavastasu jivan mukta so uchite. A person acting in the service of Krishna with his body, mind, and words is a liberated person even in the material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. To keep oneself free from material contamination and attain the Lord's favor, one must be sincerely eager to render service to the Lord. This is the only qualification necessary. As soon as one is favored by the mercy of the spiritual master and the Lord, one is immediately given all the power necessary to write books and propagate the Krishna consciousness movement without being hampered by material considerations. So those of us who have any sense of how eager Srila Prabhupada was to render service and how he was always engaged in Krishna's service can see that he was certainly qualified to receive the Lord's empowerment. Now, before Srila Prabhupada came to the United States, he made his residence at the Radha Damodar Temple in Vrindavan. And that temple was the location of Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhajan Kutir, his place of devotional service, and his samadhi. And Srila Prabhupada, there's a beautiful picture of him in his room at the Radha Damodar temple, looking out the lattice window at the samadhi of Rupa Goswami. And he was always praying to Rupa Goswami for the mercy and the power to be able to present Krishna consciousness as ordered by his spiritual master to people in the Western world and all over the world. And Srila Rupa Goswami assured Srila Prabhupada that, yes, you can do this task. And Srila Prabhupada said that although devotees generally consider Radha Kund to be the most sacred place in the universe, but he considered Srila Rupa Goswami's samadhi to be the most sacred place in the universe. Now, on a sort of esoteric level, well, let us consider this prayer that we recite often, almost every day or often. Anyway, Oma Gyan, that, you know, Oma Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshunamilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale, that verse is about Rupa Goswami, that he understood the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and established that mission on earth. And Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Svapadantikam. When will Srila Rupa Goswami be merciful to me? So that was certainly Srila Prabhupada's prayer to Srila Rupa Goswami. In a way, he established Lord Chaitanya's mission on earth through his writings. But he didn't actually take the teachings outside of India. In fact, Srila Prabhupada was the one who took the teachings, the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the books of the Goswamis outside of India throughout the world. And so he really is, you could say, an extension of Lord Chaitanya's mercy and also Srila Rupa Goswami's mercy, who was given that power and that service to establish Mahaprabhu's mission on earth. And our immediate predecessor acharyas, they're glorified as being Rupa Nugas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Namo Bhaktivinodaya, Satchidananda Namine, Gaura Shakti Karunaya, Rupa Nuga Varayate. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati also, Madhur Yojvala Premadya Rupa Nuga Bhaktida. He bestowed bhakti following the line of Rupa Goswami. And Viruda Apasiddhanta Dvanta Harine. And he would remove any misconceptions that went against the conclusions of Srila Rupa Goswami. So these books, of course, we have Ishopanishad, the Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, then the Nectar of Devotion, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. All of these books are filled with the instructions of Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami. I mean, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, and Upadeshamrita, the Nectar of Instruction, are directly Rupa Goswami. So, 1 year at the Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing very ecstatically. And he began to recite like a mundane love poem. And in this mundane poetry, the author is saying to the lover is saying to the beloved that you are the same and I'm the same as we were when we met in our youth, but now we are meeting in a different place, and the same feelings that we enjoyed in our youth is not coming here. They're not coming here. So this was very mysterious, why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this most strict sannyasi, should be singing this mundane love poetry. And the only person who knew was Swarup Damodar Goswami, Lord Chaitanya's personal secretary. After the Rath Yatra, Rupa Goswami went to take his bath, but before doing so, he composed a verse, and in those days, they would write on palm leaves. They didn't have paper like we have. And he placed that verse in the thatch of his little hut. Later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Rupa Goswami, he and Swarup Damodar, and he saw that palm leaf stuck in the thatch. And so the verse was basically echoing that mundane love poetry, but relating it to Radha and Krishna. And this refers to when Radharani met Krishna in Kurukshetra at the time of the eclipse, after Krishna had left Vrindavan many years earlier. And her mood was that you are the same Krishna and I'm the same Radha. But instead of the chirping of birds in Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill and the Jamuna River, and instead of your being dressed as a cowherd boy with a peacock feather in your hair and flute in your hand, you're dressed as a royal prince, and there's the pounding of elephants and horses and the rattling of chariots, and instead of being dressed as cowherd boys, your associates are dressed as military men. So she said, how can we enjoy in this atmosphere? So she requested Krishna to come back to Vrindavan. You should come back to Vrindavan. We can relate to you there. We're cowherd girls, you're a cowherd boy. Why are you dressed like this military personality? So Lord Chaitanya's mood in the Rath Yatra, because transcendentally, the Jagannath temple corresponds to Kurukshetra. And then the Rath Yatra, and the Rath Yatra, they pull the chariot to the Gundicha temple, which represents Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya and the Rath Yatra was in the mood of Srimati Radharani dragging Krishna back to Vrindavan. And therefore he was singing that love song. So when Lord Chaitanya read that verse of Rupa Goswami's, he said to Swarup Damodar Goswami, how no one knows these confidential thoughts of my mind. How could Rupa Goswami know? And Swarup Damodar Goswami replied, only by your mercy. There is no other way. In other words, he could understand that Lord Chaitanya had given him that mercy. And in his purport, Srila Prabhupada relates that incident to an incident with him and his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Prabhupada had written a poem for his spiritual master's appearance anniversary, Vyasa Puja. And that poem is always published in the Vyasa Puja books that we prepare for Srila Prabhupada. And every verse is very meaningful, but there was one in particular that his spiritual master especially appreciated. Srila Prabhupada wrote, absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. And just as Lord Chaitanya asked his confidential secretary, Swarup Damodar, how could Rupa Goswami have understood my mind? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would show that poem by our Srila Prabhupada to his intimate devotees. And Srila Prabhupada said, how could I have known Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mind? Of course, he doesn't answer. It's left as a rhetorical question, but we know the answer. So now, Srila Prabhupada describes further what are the confidential thoughts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What Rupa Goswami understood was a very esoteric mood of devotional service. But in his purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the confidential mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that Krishna consciousness should be spread all over the world, that books should be published and distributed all over the world. And therefore, this service of preaching Krishna consciousness and publishing and distributing books is confidential service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following in the line of Rupa Goswami. But does it mean that we are not meant to realize those confidential mellows? We are. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and that is why Srila Prabhupada came. But not in an artificial way, but by following the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us and adopting the mood that Srila Prabhupada exemplified of preaching, of being magnanimous. Rupa Goswami again prayed to Lord Chaitanya, and it's a prayer that again we recite whenever we recite the Mangalacharana prayers. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaura Tvishe Namaha. Namo Mahavaranyaya, he's offering his obeisances to the most munificent incarnation of Godhead, even more merciful than Krishna. I mean, Krishna is extraordinarily merciful, but this particular form of Krishna is even more magnanimous than Krishna in his original form. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, because he is giving Krishna Prema. He's giving that, and we're meant to receive it, but through the proper channel and in the right way. And so Srila Prabhupada emphasized that mood of magnanimity. And quoting that verse, he said that his devotees, as Lord Chaitanya was magnanimous, his devotees should also be magnanimous. And the leaders, the temple leaders, temple prep, they should be magnanimous like Lord Chaitanya. And His Grace Rameshwar Das, as I understand, he had a thought or a realization that the mood of the gopis is to bring other gopis to Krishna. They don't want to enjoy with Krishna directly, but they want to bring others to Krishna. And so he was saying that the mood of the Sankirtan devotee is like that. He's giving books that will bring people to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada approved of that thought. So what we're doing is actually, or what we're meant to be doing, is actually on a very high level. Very high level. It's publishing books, distributing books, speaking about Krishna, bringing people to Krishna. It's and one can do that to the extent that one is empowered. And certainly Srila Prabhupada was empowered to the highest degree. But any sincere servant of Srila Prabhupada will also be empowered. And we see so many devotees are, I mean, maybe that's a very big word, empowered, but they are empowered, they are inspired, they are enthusiastic to serve the mission. And that comes especially from that connection with Srila Prabhupada, that flow of power and mercy coming from Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami to Srila Prabhupada. So we should be worthy. We should be eager to serve. We should be constantly engaged. As one gets older, the physical inconveniences increase. His Holiness Devamrita Swami visited me for a few days, and at whatever it is, 6 in the evening, he would drink this concoction made of, I don't even know. So one of the devotees who was doing service at our little ashram in Carpinteria brought that drink to Maharaj. And he said, this must really be an austerity for you to drink this. And Maharaj replied, it's service to Krishna. And then he said, Srila Prabhupada said that when you're over 50 years old, you have to spend more time taking care of your body. So as the inconveniences increase, the aches and pains, like one God sister said, you know you're aging when you go to sleep fine and you wake up with a sports injury. A sports injury means, like, you know, your shoulder, your elbow, your ankles. But I guess it's Srila Prabhupada's mercy that just towards the end of the japa period, I saw His Grace Ravindranath Prabhu pick up some of the flowers that were sort of left on that table from yesterday's Julan Yatra. And, you know, like me and others of us, he's getting up there, and I could see those aches and pains and creaking bones are, they're there. But I was really touched, that he did that himself. You know, he picked up those flowers himself. And I thought, wow, you know, we're so blessed to have him here. And I was thinking of the other older devotees, and I even thought of myself, even though, you know, the body does become problematic, I thought, you know, really we should stay as long as we can and help these new devotees. Because of that direct touch we had with Srila Prabhupada and imbibing that mood of, you know, being ready to do anything for Srila Prabhupada. But anyway, it depends on the Supreme Will, but I did feel that should stay as long as we can and do as much as we can, because what Prabhupada gave us is so precious. We want it to be preserved and passed on. So I'll read, there's so many verses, I mean it's not even, but there's one very beautiful verse that describes Rupa Goswami. And it's of course the content is beautiful and the Sanskrit is beautiful. And maybe as a coincidence or as an encouragement that I must read this verse. A devotee from this temple, I guess, had a name. I'd never heard the name before, and it comes from this verse. This is from Chaitanya Chandradaya Natakam by Sri Kavi Karnapur, Act 9. And this one is verse 29. Priya Swarupe, Daita Swarupe, Prema Swarupe, Sahajabirupe, Nijanurupe, Prabhur Eka Rupe, Tatana Rupe, Swavilasa Rupe. And the translation is, Srila Rupa Goswami, whose dear friend was Swarup Damodar, was the exact replica of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was very, very dear to the Lord. Being the embodiment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love, Rupa Goswami was naturally very beautiful. He very carefully followed the principles enunciated by the Lord, and he was a competent person to explain properly the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded his mercy to Srila Rupa Goswami just so he could render service by writing transcendental literatures. Hare Krishna. So that is our line. Srila Prabhupada was also very beautiful. Once, in the very beginning, I think before Prabhupada even began ISKCON, but he'd come to New York, and he was going on occasion to Dr. Mishra's yoga ashram in upstate New York, and some of the yoga students there, they were attracted to Srila Prabhupada and they became some of the first devotees. So one of them had a dream that Srila Prabhupada had a very beautiful, effulgent, like golden form. And he told Srila Prabhupada about it. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, that is my form, but I keep it hidden because I don't want people to worship me because of my personal beauty. I want them to worship me because of my message. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, any questions or comments? Yes, Amarendra Prabhu. Amarendra Prabhu, that is an excellent question. In fact, I have faith in the process of Srimad Bhagavatam class, that if I miss something in the class, someone in the audience will raise a question to bring out the point. And I was tempted to mention it, but then I thought, if we go into the details of the history, there will be so many details. But the question, did you hear the question? That the Nawab was such a horrible tyrant, persecuting and torturing Hindus. How could Rupa and Sanatan serve him? So the history is that the Nawab could see that these were extremely qualified people. And they, needless to say, did not want to serve him. But he threatened them that if they didn't agree to come into his court, into his government, that he would kill every Hindu in the state. So, I mean, that's how bad he was. And he could have done it. He was that bad. And so to avoid that, you know, Rupa and Sanatan most reluctantly had to engage in that service. But Srila Prabhupada has told another story that illustrates why a good person might sometimes serve a bad person. Once an Indian gentleman who met Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur complained that Prabhupada's disciples were giving preferential treatment to rich people. And Srila Prabhupada replied by telling the story of the very chaste and faithful wife whose husband wanted to spend the night with a famous, celebrated prostitute. But she was so expensive, there's no way that her poor husband could have afforded it. So she became a servant of the prostitute. And you know, eventually the prostitute was so pleased with her service, she asked, you know, what do you want? And then she told that. And so the idea is that one might say that that wife was very foolish, you know, to serve a prostitute so that her husband could enjoy with the prostitute. But actually the wife was doing it to please her husband. So Srila Prabhupada made the point that sometimes we may serve other, you know, low-class people, not that rich people are lower class than other people, but, you know, that you can serve someone not for the sake of serving that person per se, but for the sake of pleasing Krishna. And so I guess that could apply to Rupa and Sanatan when they were serving the Nawab Hussain Shah. But yeah, we're fortunate to be in the United States in that sense. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada gave us Srila Rupa Goswami's letter to Goswami for the first time he came out of India through Srila Prabhupada. What is the history of Srila Rupa Goswami's book, Letter to Goswami, and how did it get from Srila Rupa Goswami to Srila Prabhupada all those years later? How was it protected? Where did it go?
Well, if you read Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Rupa Goswami, it's the basic teachings of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Rupa Goswami elaborated it. And originally, the books were written on palm leaves. Some of those original manuscripts or early manuscripts are preserved. You can see them. And you know that the center of all of those writings was Vrindavan. That's where the six Goswamis were, and that's where Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami was. But then after Mahaprabhu and his many of his associates had left, Jiva Goswami became like the leader of the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan. And he ordered that the books should be copied because they were only in Vrindavan. So he ordered that the books should be copied. And he sent Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and maybe Ramchandra Kaviraj by bullock cart. Huh? That's it. Thank you. Okay, thank you. It was Srinivas Acharya, Shamananda Prabhu, and Rasikananda Prabhu. Huh? Narottam? Huh. Anyway, some very stalwart devotees. They took the manuscripts by bullock cart to Bengal, and on the way, they were plundered by dacoits who were actually agents of the king, and. Anyway, it was a terrible situation, but then Srinivas Acharya, he preached to the king, and the king became a Vaishnav, and they got all the manuscripts back. And so our devotees say this was the first traveling Sankirtan party. Narottam and Srinivas and Shamananda Prabhu taking the manuscripts by bullock cart. So the original manuscripts have been preserved, I mean, and passed down. And then when printing presses came, they started to be printed. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of his services, he did so many services, amazing service, was that he got old manuscripts and he published them like authorized forms, and that was part of his mission to make those early writings available in authorized editions. And Srila Prabhupada did his summary study.
Thank you, Maharaj. Sometimes while presenting books to the people who are not trained up or don't have faith in any particular religious group, they ask the question, who wrote the books? And obviously it's hard to explain sometimes to them that the value of the person behind. But at least for us, I was thinking if you're so kind, if you want to mention that since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged that all his personal associates, they're not just any ordinary human being that might externally appear like being born in certain families and then taking them later on, write books like that. If you mention the background, who are you?
Well, as Srila Prabhupada says here, unless you're empowered by Lord Chaitanya, you cannot write transcendental literature. And he and our predecessor acharyas, they were empowered, and so they're not ordinary books. They're not ordinary books. Shutakirti Prabhu mentioned he was Prabhupada's servant for many years. He mentioned that, you know, he had the privilege of seeing Srila Prabhupada when he was not on the stage, you know, as a world preacher or manager of a worldwide movement. But when he was alone, no one to see what he's doing. And he would often read his books. Now, how many, in fact, Srila Prabhupada himself might have said it, like, how many authors read their own books? They write it, then they're done with it, you know, go on to the next book or the next activity. Because those books are transcendental. And once Shutakirti Prabhu went into Srila Prabhupada's room and he was reading Krishna book. And he said, Krishna book is so wonderful that if you read just one chapter, you can become Krishna conscious. And not even one chapter, if you read one page, you can become Krishna conscious. I said, not even one page. One paragraph, you can become Krishna conscious. Not even one paragraph, one sentence. I said, not even one sentence. If you read just one word of Krishna book, you can become Krishna conscious. And he said the exact same thing another time when Shutakirti Prabhu came in and he was reading the Bhagavad Gita as it is. The exact same thing. So yes, these books are alive. They are Krishna and the parampara. You're associating with Krishna and the parampara when you read these books. It's not like ordinary ink on paper. And by touching Krishna and his devotees, your life is transformed. And we see every day there's stories. All right, so in the mood of taking care of our bodies in Krishna's service, we will end the class and honor Prasad before it's too late. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.